Chapter 14, I'm gonna speak of something that really got me. My whole life, I wanted to do what I wanted to do. And I was looking for something to kind of satisfy me, looking for money and different things. The only thing that ever satisfied me was Jesus Christ, accepting Him as my Lord and Savior. And then, coming to Clearview, we moved up here almost 7 years ago, and I thank God, one day Brother Corey Nepshield and David Hannah knocked on the door for the first time. Then him and Brother Don Glenn come back by. My wife visited first, and then I come. The first time I came here was on an Easter Sunday. I've been coming ever since. But I thank God for that, sending a man of God by to convict me that I needed to be back in the house of God. I was out of church. We was looking for churches, but I done got to the point that I thought churches were social clubs. I was hardened in my heart. God, Satan was tempting me not to be there. And I thank God for a godly upbringing from my mother and my father. And we went to church growing up. I thank God for that. But I never found peace within my heart until I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. And then we started coming here. I was saved. God was really pricking my heart to do something for Him. Like the preacher mentioned, I surrendered to preach. Then I surrendered to full-time Christian service. It was actually under his uncle, Don Carney, preaching a mission conference. I think it was 2 years ago then that he done it. And I was sitting right back there. By Thursday night of that week, I was weeping. He asked a question that week. He said, if God asked you to do something, would you be willing to do whatever God wants? Would you be willing to do God's perfect will for your life? And that's what I'm going to preach on tonight, is God's perfect will. If you will, would you turn to Bible, said, Joshua chapter 14, starting at verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua into Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenzite said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me to Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought forth word again, as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, thy brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord thy God. And Moses swore that day, saying, surely the land where thy feet had trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord thy God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, when since the Lord spake the word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, for therefore, give me this mountain, wherefore the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. And if the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave him to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for the inheritance. And Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenzite, unto this day, because thou he wholly followed the Lord thy God. Then the Father, we just thank you, Lord, and thank you for this opportunity to stand before you tonight. I thank you for this church. Lord, I do pray for the country of Bolivia. Lord, I know the soul's dying every second. Lord, I pray, Lord, you'd Lord, send someone by to give them the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray, Lord, you'd hide me behind the cross tonight, Lord, and give me the strength and the wisdom to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ today, Lord. Lord, that no one would see me, but see the word of God proclaimed tonight, Lord. I thank you for this opportunity again. I always pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to look back at verse number 12. Now, therefore, give me this mountain. I want you to think of that mountain as God's perfect will for Caleb's life. Caleb was promised this land because he what? It says it 6 times in the Old Testament, 3 times in the verses we just read. He wholly followed the Lord thy God. He was wholehearted. The name Caleb means wholehearted. It means that he was willing to do whatever. But right here, what they're talking about, he's saying, give me this mountain. We're talking about after the children of Israel was wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. And they crossed the Jordan River, and they was finally to their promised land that they was promised they would have through Moses, with God telling Moses. And when they got there, They were finally divided up, the elders and Caleb and Joshua and Eleazar, the priest, were all sitting there, and they were dividing out the land. And Caleb said, hey, I want that mountain. I want that land that God has promised me, because he knew that was God's perfect will for his life. He wanted to do what God wanted him to do. He said, look, God has been with me this whole time. He's kept me safe. Others were dying around me through the wilderness. I was watching my friends, family drop like flies. But God kept me here. I want what God promised me. So the first thing, if we want God's perfect will for our life, I want you to think about this title of the message I named it tonight. God's best don't settle for less. God's best don't settle for less. If we want God's best, first we need to be a person of commitment. A person of commitment. In verse 8, it pretty much sums up Caleb and how he lived. It says, nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord our God. Caleb was an honest man. He was committed to do what God told him to do and come back and brought a good report saying, surely the land is what God wanted us. But yeah, there's giants there. We'll get to that in a minute. But he wholly followed. So we know if we want to be having God's best for our life, we need to be committed to doing what God directs us to do. We need to be willing. Let me ask you this. We know Caleb wholly followed the Lord our God. Wholly. Had his whole life. Caleb was willing to surrender it all, willing to give a good report. Let me ask you this question tonight. How much of your life does God have? How much of your life does God have? Are you wholly following the Lord our God? Are you saying, God, you can have everything but this? I've done that. I was that way. That night on that Thursday night when I surrendered to missions, I was squalling like a baby almost back there because I didn't want to go. I didn't want to surrender, but God burdened me. I couldn't get it out of me. Started that Monday night, I actually talked to Pastor. We was working on Stacy Meadows' camper out there. The first night I talked to him about it, for working on his air conditioner. And the Lord was really working on me. But I was stubborn. I didn't want to go. I said, Lord, I'd do anything. That week I was doing this. Lord, I'd do anything, but I don't want to go to worldwide missions. My family, my friends are here. This ain't for me. God said, yes, it is. This is my perfect will. This is the mountain I have for you. This is the mountain I have for you. Let me tell you here tonight, every one of us sitting in this room, I don't care if you're 8, 80, 90, 108, we have a mountain standing in front of us. Every one of us. You might not know what it is, but there's a mountain. God has a perfect will for your life, no matter your age. And you might be sitting here saying, well, Brother Brian, I'm still young. God's got a mountain for you. You might be in here saying, Brother Brian, I'm in my middle ages. I already got my life settled. God's got a perfect will for you. Brother Brian, I'm in my sunset years. Time on earth's about past. Let me just tell you what, as long as you got breath in your lungs, God's got the best for you. He's got the best for you. And let me tell you this. We got to be surrendered. That night I surrendered, it was hard. But there's some in here that say the same thing like I did. God, you can have everything but this. God, I would go out soul winning Thursday night, but you know, that's my favorite TV show. You can have every time but that. God, you know, I would go out and witness more, but I'm not comfortable talking to people. You can have everything but that. I do any manual labor you want, as long as I don't have to talk to nobody. The Bible says, go ye therefore into all the world, preaching and teaching of him. How are you going to do that without talking? Amen. You got to go out and talk to people. You can't, no matter what I do, I can't sit here and just stand here and y'all get anything from me. I have to talk. And he tells us to go. If I just stand there, you're just going to say, look at that fat, ugly guy standing up there. But you got to be willing to surrender. You got to be like Caleb. Holy Father, the Lord God. Let me ask young people in here, young ladies, do you want God's best for your life? Maybe you surrender to be a missionary's wife. Maybe you surrender to be a pastor's wife. Why are you still hanging around with the worldly crowd? You're selling them for less. God's best. Don't settle for less. Maybe you're a young man. You surrender to preach full-time Christian service later in your life. But yet you still run around with your worldly girls. You're selling them for less. Don't settle for less. I want God's best. Caleb was sitting there telling them on that, telling Joshua and the Eleazar on them, hey, I want that mountain. What's your mountain today? Maybe your mountain is God's best for you. You might be sitting here and say, Brother Brian, I've never accepted the Lord as my Savior. Let me tell you right now, God done gave you his best when he gave his son to die on the cross of Calvary for you. He gave his best right then. So first, accept that. And then God's going to have something else. You might sit here and say, well, Brother Brian, you don't believe God is a permissive God? Yeah. If you ask me that question, I'd say, yeah, God's a permissive God. But why would you want God's second best, third best, fourth best, when you can have God's best? When you can have his best. Yeah, he'll give you another plan, but look, you can have God's best on your life if you're willing. If you'd be like Caleb, be surrendered. I love it. In three verses right there, verse 8, it says, I wholly follow the Lord my God. Verse 9, thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. Verse 14, he had wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. He wholly followed, wholehearted. The Bible, and you will turn to Romans chapter 12. Look, let me tell you something right now. God don't want no dead sacrifices. God, Jesus died for us. He asked one thing for us, to live for him. Read in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of the mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I want you to notice something right now. Not only is God's way perfect, God's will is perfect. Not only his way, the way he wants you to live, the way God lives, is perfect. The way he wants you to go in life is perfect. But his will for your life is perfect. And he asks you to, I beseech. You know what beseech means? Paul was sitting there telling the Roman church, I beg you. I'm begging you, present your body a living sacrifice to God. Christ died for you. He wants you to be willing to go. There might be someone who'll say, no, I do everything. I surrender all. Let me ask you this. Would you be willing to surrender and go to a foreign world where you don't fit in, where you don't speak their language? When they look at you, as Brother Bobby Pugh told me when I was told him I was surrendering to go to Bolivia, Brother Bobby told me, he said, boy, you're going to look like a fly in a glass of milk. I said, you're about right. I said, you're about right, but that's where God wants me. That's where God wants me, so I'm willing to go. So I pray that we would all think about what Paul was telling the Roman church. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, I'm begging you, is what Paul's saying, to by the mercy of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. So let's live for God. If we want to have God's best on life, first, like I said, we need to be a perfect person of commitment. Caleb was not as the book of James talked about, a double-minded person. He wasn't sitting there on both sides of the fence. He didn't half-heartedly serve God. Let me ask you that. Are you half-heartedly serving God? Only willing to do the parts that are fun to you? The parts that don't take much effort? Caleb was willing to go all in. Caleb was willing to surrender all. But secondly, we got it. Number one was a person of commitment. Number two, need to be a confident Christian. Need to be a confident Christian. To be confident, you got to have faith. How is your faith? You got to have faith that God's going to protect you. And lo, I will be with you always. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. God gave us plenty of promises. You got to have confidence that he's going to keep his end of the bargain. He's going to. You got to be willing to go forth and tell whatever he has you do, be willing to live your life for him. You got to be confident in what you believe. I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary for me. You can't persuade me no other way. I believe Jesus died for the world, for every lost sinner. The book of 1 Peter and James tells us that God don't want any of us to Let me get the scripture right here in my head. I got so much going on. But he don't want any of us to perish without redemption, without turning to Jesus Christ. He gave us a free gift of salvation. The people in Bolivia don't know it. The people here in America, they don't know it. I was burdened for Bolivia. Let me tell you right now, this last winter, I was burdened right here in South Haven, Mississippi, Horn Lake. Me and Lonnie and Lance, matter of fact, we're out bus calling. Ran into this guy, got to witness to him. God used me to use us to lead him to, his name was Colton. He got saved that day, but his two kids were sitting right there. And they came up. I said, you know what your daddy just done? He just accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior. They said, who? There's people right here in this neighborhood that's never heard of Jesus Christ in our community. If that don't burden your soul for their soul, that don't make your heart burn to go out and tell them, I don't know what it is, because there's people right here that's going to die and spend eternity in a devil's hell because no one went and told them. And they're going to stand the same way I told you I feel. They're going to stand before the God of heaven, and he's going to say, depart from me, for I never knew you. Why? Why, God? Did you not love me enough? Yeah, God loved him enough. He loved, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever, that's everyone, believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So we got to be confident in what we believe. I believe God's going to take care of me and my family. I think he's going to show us direction. I pray that he takes my feet and only walks down the paths he'd have me go. I want to be chastised by God if I start going the other direction, to draw me closer back to him. I'm confident he will. So, secondly, we know we need to be a confident Christian. But number three, I want you to look at, there's going to be conquest. There's going to be battles. Notice in verse, let me see what verse it is. I done got so many things I'm reading here. I don't want to get the wrong chapter. Verse number 11 in Joshua. Joshua 14, verse number 11. As yet I am strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me, as my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Caleb knew that mountain, there was Anakins on there. You know what the Anakins were? They were giants. Brother Brian, what's a giant? Anything bigger than you are. Anything you can't get through yourself. That he knew there was going to be battle. He knew that he was going to have trials. He knew he was going to be pretty much try to fight off from getting where God wanted him. Let me tell you right now, it's the same way with us. If we start doing God's will for our life, there's going to be giants. There's going to be things that Satan puts in our way trying to deter us off of that path. Because he don't want not one soul to be saved and on the way to heaven. He wants to keep our mouth shut. And Caleb said, hey, I'm ready. He's 85 years old. 4 score and 5 years. He's 85 years old. And he said, I'm as strong that day as I was when he sent me up there the first time. I want God's will. I want that mountain. I want God's perfect will for my life. I want God's best. I'm not settling for less. So he said, I know there's going to be problems. You know what happened? You take your Bible and turn this one chapter over, chapter 15, verse 14. And Caleb drove them thence, the three sons of Anak. He got them mountain, them giants out of there. You know how? By God. Caleb looked at giants as spiritual food. He said every time that you defeat one giant, guess what? This grows your faith even more in Jesus Christ, in God, knowing he can get you through anything. I like to say the 10 most important words in the English language is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. There's nothing you can't do if Christ is on your side. If you're living for God, if you're living by faith. So Caleb knew there was going to be giants. Let me ask you today, what is your giant? What is standing in your way? What is standing in your way of serving God wholeheartedly? I wholly follow the Lord thy God. Is it finances? Is it being, is it fear? Is it unwillingness? Is it family? Is it friends? Is it self? Because it could be self. I don't want to surrender. I don't want to do nothing but what I want to do. Let me tell you, America's got an eye problem. And I'm not talking about these eyes. I'm talking about I, me. The world's got an eye problem. When we all need to be pointing towards He, God. He does it all. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. So Caleb went out and he fought the giants. And it tells us right there, he drove them thence. He ran them all. He slayed them. So let me ask you today, what is your giant? Let me ask you today, maybe you're in here and you're saying, hey, you know what? I'm willing to do whatever God wants me to do. I got some, but I'm scared of them giants. I'm scared of them. You know, we're starting a Christian school. Maybe that giant's the finances, the fear, not knowing that, thinking, my kid's not going to learn what they need to learn. Let me tell you, he will. The most important thing they're going to learn up there at Clearview Baptist School, let me tell you, is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that we were created and that we did not evolve. I'm going to tell you right now, God didn't create a monkey and I turned into a human. God created man. They're going to learn that right up there. Maybe that's your giant. You're saying, I don't want to surrender. I don't want my kid to go there. I don't want to be willing to let him go. That's my giant. God can conquer it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Where's your faith? Where's your faith? Without faith, there's nothing. With faith in Jesus Christ and God, you can do it all. We can go to Bolivia. This country, San Borja, you hear right here, can learn Spanish. It's got a little of a Spanish dialect. I'm in a redneck dialect to it, but I'm going to have my own little dialect in Bolivia. That's all I can say. Brother Bobby was right when he said, I'm going to stand out like a fly in a glass of milk. So, but God can do anything that you're willing to do. Young people, old, young, middle-aged, don't matter. God still uses you. You got breath in your lungs. What are you willing to do for Him? What are you willing to do for Him? God sent His Son to die for us, to die for the world. Ain't it worth doing something for Him? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, I beg you, commit yourself a living, your body as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable. We need to be acceptable by God. Be willing to serve Him, no matter what it takes, no matter where we go, we need to be willing to do it. It's going to be tough. There's going to be giants. But you can defeat them. It'll grow your faith in God. Another one to come, when you read about the life of David and the mighty men, there was plenty of giants in their way, but what had happened? They kept defeating them over and over again. They grew mightier and mightier. Their faith grew more and more. They knew God was on their side. Let me tell you right now, we're on the winning side. We need to just be willing to go forth and tell, be willing to surrender, be willing to wholly follow thy Lord, thy God. Not this halfway, quarter way, three quarters away. Wholly follow. Have a life fully surrendered. There might be someone here today, I ask you the same question that I was surrendering the missions under. If God calls me to anything, would I do it? Would you be willing to? Would you be willing to get yourself out of the way? Would you be willing to make some sacrifices? I don't look at it as a sacrifice for me and my family that's going to move to Ohio and then move to Bolivia, deputation, all the trials. I don't look at it as a sacrifice. You know why? Because that's God's best for my life. That's where God's called me. That's what I think about day and night. Wake up in the morning thinking about it. Go to sleep, pillow my head at night thinking about it. Lord, I want to get there as quick as I can because the soul's dying that fast. 11 million people. 7 independent Baptist missionaries down there giving the true gospel of Jesus Christ. 7. In 2008, they ran them all out. A couple stayed behind. Brother Malcolm Gregory, the one that was with us, was one of them that stayed behind. Not long after we come back from Bolivia, God really burdened my heart there. I close with this. I was wondering, God, what mission board do you want me to go with? What do you want me to do, Lord? I know that is your best for my life. I know that's where you want me. I'm willing to live, die, whatever it takes, and believe until God calls me somewhere else. I'm willing to go whatever God wants. We're stepping out by faith. But I said, God, what do you want? Should I go with BIMI? Should I do whatever? And God started showing me his best for his life again, showing me directions he had had me go. Contacting people, the people we met there, pastor, his family, the different one. And I pray that you'd continue to pray for us that God directs our paths. But let me ask you again, what is your mountain? You know God's best. Can you go in right now? You take a notebook like this, go sit in a quiet room and write it down. God's mountain, God's best for your life. Can you write it down? And then look at it and read it and see if you can do it yourself. If you can do it yourself, it's not a giant. It's not a miracle. If you can do it yourself, I can look at it and say, well, I think God's best for me is to build a 3-story house. I can do that. Or I think God's best is for me to go spend my life in a foreign country. I think God's best for me is to surrender to full-time Christian service. I think God's best for me is to allow my kids to grow up in a Christian environment. I think God's best is whatever. And you sit there, how can I do it? If you can't figure it out, that might be God's best. If you can't do it yourself, it takes God to get you there. I can't get there without God. You can't do whatever God's best is for your life without God. So I pray tonight that you'd think about that. If you will you bow your heads and close your eyes? Then, Father, we just thank you for the word of God, Lord. We just thank you for the best for our lives, Lord. I just pray all of us would be like Caleb, Lord, and say, Lord, give me that mountain, Lord, that the best for our lives. Lord, I pray all of us would have that heart, that desire to do, to want God's best, and that we won't settle for less. Lord, I just pray, Lord, you'd be with this church, Lord. And Lord, just keep strengthening us, Lord. I pray, Lord, you'd continue to bind us all together, Lord, to reach people for the cause of Christ. Lord, I pray, Lord, if there's any in here in this building tonight that don't know you as their Lord and Savior, Lord, they would surrender to that best for your life first, for their life first, Lord. I pray, Lord, they would turn to you before it's eternally too late. Lord, again, I thank you for the opportunity to stand before you and preach tonight. I'll be praying in Jesus' name. Amen. Keep